Hello, everyone, and welcome to CineQuest Video. Today, we're going to be reviewing a new vampire movie, Abigail. This is Cosmic Beef, coming to you from MoQuest Studios. And we have King Teriyaki Double Thick Filet. Is that the full name? Is that what I'm reading?
Ofish.
Ofish.
Manwich.
Manwich coming in from some bunker in an unknown location.
Yep, I have to. I can't. Can't let myself be seen in public with a name like this.
The cops are after him with such a high profile name.
I am delicious royalty. What can I say?
It's dangerous. He's got cannibals coming after him, you know.
Yep. I'm too tasty for my own good.
So, Abigail is a 2024 horror comedy, and it is apparently a retelling, reimagining, reboot, however you want to call it, of the 1936 movie Dracula's Daughter, which I didn't know. Until today,
I thought they were just calling it that, like as a like an homage. I didn't actually know that it was meant to be, you know, like a sort of reboot kind of thing. But apparently, they had to change the name. So, you know,
I'd mentioned to you, Roland, when I saw this, I was like, oh, this is kind of an interesting take on like a new type of vampire-ish type of movie, and it kind of is. But I mean, I didn't realize that it was also from a movie or based on a movie that I have no idea, because I've never seen this movie. I'm not well versed in the like millions of Universal black and white 30s horror movies, you know.
But like at this point, we know all the, you know, all the classics or whatever that they started the
month. Right, but I mean, if we were to look back at any of those films, there are more than I can even count on.
Oh,
two hands,
absolutely,
you know?
Absolutely.
Apparently that the Dracula's Daughter was also based on a short of Bram Stoker's The Guest or something. That apparently was a chapter in the actual Dracula book, but it was taken out or something like that. I didn't research much into it, but that's kind of how as far as like the source material allegedly goes, but it resembles nothing of that short that Bram Stoker wrote. I think it just kind of like the fact that it's Dracula's daughter, all that kind of shit.
Yeah.
And with that information, it kind of gives you an idea of what Abigail is kind of about or where it kind of goes from just that information. If you knew nothing about this movie, you're going into it like I did, that there's a girl who gets kidnapped and she's a ballet dancer. And it's revealed in the trailer that she turns out to be a vampire. What type of vampire? Very aggressive type of vampire. The vampire that I don't... not one of those types of vampires that look cool or anything. They're very grotesque looking. And she is kidnapped by these criminals, six of them, according to the trailer and the movie itself. And they kind of get trapped in this mansion, this old mansion with her. And we're not exactly sure, according to the trailer and even the beginning of the movie, what exactly is taking place, why those particular folks are there, and why they're in this situation with this vampire.
It sort of alludes to it in the trailer when, you know, they're like, you need to watch her for, you know, the night or whatever kind of thing. And
well, I mean, you don't really know like the motives as to what exactly, because we know from the trailer that these criminals kidnapped this person. This little girl, in order to extort money from this other,
that's
her father.
You know, it's like, why do you kidnap rich people? Oh, for money.
Yeah, exactly. You know? And that's its basic story.
I would say that,
yeah,
exactly. If you watch the trailer for this movie, the whole story is pretty much, it's kind of there.
I would say it does let the story kind of out of the bag right in the trailer, but that's not the essence of the movie itself, the actual reveal. Like
the lot of it is in the, it's the, well,
I would say, I would it's say how the, I say how everything starts to play out. That's kind of like what is entertaining about this movie. And again, we already know the secret, the girl's a vampire and she's killing people, But yeah. I think it's just how that progresses in the movie is kind of where the fun takes place.
Right. Yeah. I want to see, you want to see how it plays out.
Yeah. There's no real, there's no big reveals. It's just, let's have fun with this movie.
Yeah. And that's pretty much what it went for. Cause it looked like a comedy. And once, you know, she reveals herself, I'd say that it pretty much follows that. Like, it's a very dark comedy, but yeah. like in the moments again, like where the scenes that are shot aren't meant to be funny necessarily, like for what's happening, but the way they play out is hilarious. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, it's again, like it's not written as humor, it's unintended humor, but like the way it plays out is like, okay, how do you not laugh at this? Obviously, you know, a girl like doing ballerina dances as she chases people to kill them, you know, that she hops over the dead body and like she, you know, like tiptoes on the railing and stuff kind of thing as people are just like, ah, oh, shit. Ah.
Yeah. You know, like, and I mean, you come to realize that she's just toying with every single one of them because she could easily kill all of them fairly quickly.
Yeah.
And she says so in the trailer too. She says, I like to play with my food. So, I mean, she's just fucking with them throughout the whole movie. Mm-hmm. And it's just that. And again, like you mentioned, the fact that they play into the ballerina angle of this whole thing. And I think it was so just, much. It was just used as a way to just add some, I guess, finesse or extravagant type of movements. Just to add an element. No, there's no reason for it. There's no reason for it. Yeah. There's no reason for it whatsoever. Let's just have her as a ballerina. And then boom, you have different scenarios where she's dancing with a dead body, you know, like,
and then she's like, when everybody walks in on her, she's like, oh, what are you doing? You know, like she acts surprised and shit. Yeah. They're like, what are you, fuck off. Like, a lot of it was just her, like, you're right. Like fucking with people and just she was having fun.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Doing her thing. And that was funny about it because like, the other characters are all very unfunny people, you know.
They're all kind of pieces of shit, you know, in some form or fashion. Yeah. We have Melissa Barrera, who is from the Scream movies, from my first. Yeah. I know her from Dan Stevens. I don't know who that is. Catherine Newton, I believe she came out in. That new Frankenstein movie, Lady Frankenstein.
Girl Frankenstein. Yeah, she's been in a lot of things.
Amongst other films as well. She's cool as a side character, you know.
I don't know that I'd care to see her as a main character. I haven't wanted to check out the Frankenstein movie though.
I did attempt to watch it, but it didn't grasp my attention enough, so I stopped watching it. And I'm gonna give it another try later because I was a little distracted.
I think a lot of it has to do with her lines, though. That she,
yeah, it's just cheesy. Because, it's just cheesy shit, you know. Like,
well, yeah,
I don't know.
She was playing a stereotype, so
yeah, in the '80s. You know. Oh, are you talking about this movie or?
I'm sorry, I'm talking about this movie.
Okay, everyone's playing like a stereotype. Like, even the guy that they find out is like was a former cop and stuff like that. They're all playing the stereotypes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Apparently, this other character who was the driver, Angus Cloud. This was like his last movie. He died shortly after that.
He died.
Apparently, he was in Euphoria. I think
I've never seen it. They dedicated the movie to him, which I was like, okay, that's.
all right, that's fine.
I was hoping there would. RIP, I was kind of hoping. You know? I was hoping for more from his character with the way Joey, right, Melissa Barrera's character, like profiles everybody. And she gets them all right. And with him, like, she was just like, you don't want me to profile you, buddy. He's like, well, go, come on. You know what? Like, it's like, you've got loose wiring. Like, you're probably a sociopath.
You know, it's kind of reading after the fact that he passed away because of like a lot of drugs shit like that. I was just was he on drugs through the movie too? Like, it didn't look like
he wasn't playing a character.
It was just him on drugs the whole time.
He seemed like a cool dude, but again, like, she Joey labels him as a sociopath, and like, I'm just saying that, I'm immediately thinking like, oh cool, who's he gonna betray, or like, who's he gonna like have a split, you know moment or whatever. He just turns into someone else and like drops the facade or something.
Yeah.
And like, he didn't get any of that. It's just like, you know, he keeps doing his dumb shit, and then,
yeah,
you know, he gets his head ripped off.
Which, and we'll leave it at that as far as like the types of kills that go on in this movie.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Sorry. Go. You want to go ahead to the cast, right?
The only other cast member that I was familiar with was and I hate, oh, I don't want to fuck up his name. It's Giancarlo Esposito.
Yeah, Esposito. Giancarlo Esposito.
Is that the way you spell it? Though? Like Giancarlo. Carlo.
I mean, if you want to say it with an Italian accent, yeah.
Giancarlo Esposito. Yes. I know. I remember him from Breaking Bad, amongst other like TV shows as well.
Yeah, yeah.
I like him. He's cool. He's cool.
He's done a lot of things. He's, yeah.
And he plays his character, as small as it is, like fairly well, as he should.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Overall, Roland, I had fun with this movie. We didn't go in expecting like this grandiose new type of vampire film that was going to blow my mind.
No.
I was expecting a fun time, got my popcorn, got my drink, got an ice cream sandwich for the first time. Was very underwhelming. It was one of those Nestle Toll House ones. It was lame. No flavor, no sweetness. It was a waste of time, but I ate it anyways.
I agree with you for the most part, but I think that this movie was probably about 40 minutes, 30 minutes longer than it needed to be. It was almost 2 fucking hours.
I will say that the part when the vampire-ness starts up,
yeah, that's when it gets
that's
great.
You know, but then you
have waiting for it. I was like, please, please, hurry the fuck up.
I think
like,
the one thing that I will agree with you on is that some of my nitpicks are that the beginning of the film where we're kind of going into everyone's backstory, which is no reason to play into any of the story at any point in the end.
Not really.
Necessarily. I mean, like, maybe a few, but like the rest of them, it was kind of unnecessary.
They could have left all of that out with the scene and left in, you know, with just, because just with the scene where Abigail starts like tying all of the connections together that they have with those characters, that explains everything.
Yeah,
like that was, and like they did that in like 5 minutes, and it was cool. Like it was a cool moment because like they all get freaked. They're like, "How do you know our names?" You know, and she's like, "Well, you know this."
Yeah,
this,
you
this,
know, this. I you're right. Like that, the we fact that I think they had to give characters something else to do other than just sit around and drink with each other and watch this little girl. Because now I understand why they did it. I'm not saying they should have done it that way because it did kind of make the movie a little longer than it should have been.
It was boring. I wasn't interested in them. I was expecting more from them. I was like, oh, they're talking about all this shit because it's going to get like, it's going
to, something's going to, it's going to play into the story later.
Right. And it really doesn't. Didn't. And yeah. I was like, example again, talking about, what's his face's character, the driver. Angus Cloud, Dean's character. Yeah. You know, I was like, oh, this guy is—he's gonna be like the dude, the pothead from Freddy versus Jason or whatever. Like, you know, which pretty much actually he kind of was. Like, he's just like perpetually fucking horny and, you know, smoking a doob. And he carries around a fucking—he's got a fanny pack and he's got a—he carries markers around in there so he can draw for some reason dicks on people's faces, that kind of shit. And I was like, this is, what is this? This like Friday After Next? Like what the fuck? Like kind of.
No, man, it's just fucking like it's American Pie shit, you know.
Yeah, thank you. And I was just like, cool. This is gonna be funny. He's gonna be the comedy relief. Nope, first one out of there.
Yeah.
Like fuck. I really liked Catherine Newton's character. I mean, can we? How are you? Want to go with like spoilers? Because.
Well, no, I don't want to get into any spoilers. Just be as vague as you can.
She has a really cool moment. Like when, I guess when she has like a character turn, sort of thing. Like she, like that was actually pretty awesome, and she can dance pretty damn good too. That was actually a pretty fun. Like there were some fun scenes in there. Like I was not expecting, or rather, I didn't know what to expect. I was kind of like really enjoying it though. I do like the effects that they do with this. A lot of there's just primarily practical.
Mm-hmm. A lot of blood. Really
yes, a lot of blood. Stuff, yeah. Some pretty interesting, like the set was great. That mansion, that house, awesome. Like it's a very iconic sort of horror. You know, lots of long hallways. You know, very like Victorian era, Victorian age. You know, like upholstery house designs, those sorts of things. That. you know, they've got a study and a library and a bar and, you know, like,
it's like a whole maze, you know, like they, a house like that has various, parts where you can actually, have, scenes play out. You know, there's like that basement and there's the kitchen, that place that attaches to the basement. And then there's another like underground area, like the little tunnels and stuff. Like it's great. Like it just adds for more, I guess.
And Abigail's father, you know, that obviously mentions in there, he's cool. Fucking cool as fuck. Like his little cameo showing up.
He has a, he's kind of menacing. He's menacing looking.
Yeah. That was a very cool moment. It reminded me a lot of Constantine when Peter Stormare comes in as Lucifer. Like it's just boom. Like, oh fuck. What's he doing here? Like, you're fucked now. You know, kind of moment.
Thought you're going to say it's, like, it's when Nicolas Cage comes into the therapy group in Renfield or something. You haven't seen that yet, have you?
No, I need to see that. Oh, I mean, in the trailer, yeah. But like, I really liked. I really liked Abigail's character. She's really funny. Like the way she moves and like everything in that is. There's one moment where, and I think as shown in the trailer, where she starts to like levitate.
Yeah.
You know, and they're just like, what the fuck? And she's there like, rah, you know, kind of doing her thing. And I was like, I was just laughing my ass off. Yeah. And I was like, she is having so much fucking fun with you idiots.
And that's basically what we're getting from this, is a vampire who's having fun with her food. Mm-hmm. And again, that actually was a great scene, because it kind of just shows real quick in the trailer. But as she's grabbing that guy's leg and he's like, oh shit, she's like flying, and she's being real like dramatic with it, you know? Everyone just stares at her. It's pretty great.
I think a lot of them did good jobs representing their characters. I'd have to say Frank's character, the ex cop or whatever was probably one of the best, because he was just like such a smarmy asshole kind of thing from the get go. The second you see him, like, you know, as they're setting up their heist.
I think he just like progressively gets more asshole throughout the movie. Like,
I think he was like pretty, actually, I'd only say like it shows he's more like progressively more like the asshole parts of him. But like, I'd say that he was a pretty consistent shithead from the beginning all the way.
He was. I just think he gets even worse like towards the end.
He's
pretty consistent asshole through the whole movie. But then like towards the end, he gets like a progressively like worse. Like it takes like a huge spike.
he becomes an enabled asshole kind of thing. I really liked his character though, because of that. Like, he was just like, oh, you suck. Oh, you're such a piece of shit. Like, oh, this is great. But like, he also had like really funny like reactions and lines.
Yeah.
Again, in the same situation where it's like, this isn't supposed to be funny. It's just his reaction. And the way he says what he says is just like, oh, what a dick. Catherine Newton was pretty cool. Again, like, she starts off a certain way, representing her parole, and then like they just sort of enhance it quite a bit. I did like the guy that played Kevin Durant, the guy that played Peter, which I guess he was the muscle, because out of all of the I guess the backstories, when Joey was sort of like profiling him, his was the one that seemed to have the most kind of like
sad,
not necessarily, it was probably one of the saddest, but like I was trying to think of like, it seemed like the most impactful, like when she was describing these things to him, she was very specific, and he's just like, I think he kind of like his emotion, or like his emoting, you know, his quiet emoting was probably the best, because he's just like, oh yeah, you're okay, shit, like you're 100% correct. And like he fist bumps her after, he's like, yeah, cool, like kind of
he's
shit.
like the big kind of teddy bear, but like it's also the muscle,
right?
You know?
yeah he's the kill you with kindness and a big fist kind of person.
I like Melissa Barrera's character. She had to play more like the straight person, or I guess the one with a bit of a more of a moral compass. But also with a really shit backstory also, you know, so.
she had the most agency within the movie. She had like the her reasoning and all that. But what was interesting is even that was sort of used against her later on, and like she realized that she was kind of like making certain excuses for herself in certain situations and other things, and then that sort of changes as it goes on. I don't think I've ever seen her in anything. You said she's from the other Scream movies.
Yeah, from part 5 and part 6.
The character, the was it the people that directed this? Didn't they work on...
I believe it's the producers that worked on Scream.
Where's the producers? Yeah, I can't find their names. But yeah, I think that was probably how they got her into this, because... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they kind of just transitioned her over. I mean, I would say like she didn't work for the part or anything, but I'm just saying like they're probably more familiar with her, and so like she was kind of like working with the same people.
Oh no, again. Okay. So like Matt Bettinelli Olpin was a director for I guess the first of the Scream remakes.
Well, it's not really a remake, but I mean.
I'm just looking at what they're known for, and it's just a Scream 6 and Scream.
Yeah, the part 5. Which, yeah.
The 2022.
Yeah.
Right, excuse me. Yeah, that's how much I keep up with that.
Well, yeah, well, there you go. They worked with together, and then she goes
and so, to this right. one. And the other director as well, yeah, was from both, right? That was Tyler Gillette, or whatever the hell it's pronounced. She's not going to be in the any of the other Scream movies though, right?
Understanding, she got canned from those for particular reasons we won't discuss here.
Yeah, it's not worth going into. It's unfortunate for them because she does a really great job. She's a pretty good actress in this. I didn't get tired of her her character at all in this movie, mostly because like it very much, you know, the movie very much just focused on her as like the central character that I can, as far as I can tell, from the get-go, or pretty much close to it. I mean, she's not boring. She had a lot going on. And so that was pretty cool. I liked the way it ended as well with,
that's all you can really say. Yeah.
They leave it slightly open-ended, but not really.
Realistically, depending on how much this movie makes, as nature will, Hollywood will find a way to make a sequel movie.
I'd like to see more about Abigail and her father, obviously.
Continue that story would be nice to see.
They allude to like a lot of stuff that is going on with them, and like,
and
I kind of felt like that was almost like a minor detail.
And could it be possible that this is like, I mean, I don't know if this is the case or not. I don't know any backstory in the production or pre-production, whatever the fuck. But could this leave it open-ended for Abigail and this version of her father to be integrated into like the Universal Monster?
That would be cool.
Canon, or the new canon.
Right, yeah. The universe. The dark... Universal Studios Dark Universe, or whatever the fuck they're calling that shit, that they've been trying to do forever.
Well, I mean, like, even with the new Dracula, like with Nicolas Cage, I would love to see him come back and do something. That'd be great.
Did you ever see the last money the last Mummy movie with Tom Cruise?
I did. I went to the theater to watch that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I haven't seen it, but I know
it's okay. I mean, it was basically, to me, it seemed like Mission Impossible meets fucking The Mummy. You know, it Tom Cruise didn't fit that particular movie. But I mean, we could talk about that some other time if you're forced to watch it, and we can talk about it. But
sure.
Just to get back to Abigail again. Overall, fun movie. Overall, cool. Had a good time watching this. Not many nitpicks, really? And going into it knowing that you're just gonna get this very basic storyline and just have fun with it. Again, if you're not into that, that's totally fine. But right. I enjoyed it. I will say I personally give it out of 5, just a solid 4 out of 5. Like a real hard solid 4 out of 5. It seems like something I would watch again, kind of in like a background type of movie and stuff like that. It seems fun to me.
Yeah. 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 So would you check it on theaters or recommend it to be seen that?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it's a fun movie. Yeah. I would say people should go watch this in theaters.
It's a pretty good experience. I'd agree. To check out in theaters, the gore, the sets, the,
if I was a kid of 13 years old, I would love for my parents, my cool parents, to take me to go watch this movie, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're into ballet and you're into horror and Halloween and like,
well,
you know,
I'm not into ballet, but I enjoyed that aspect of it.
That's fine. But like,
I need it personally. Let's scrap the whole ballet aspect of this. We need to bring in breakdancing. All right. We need to have a breakdancing vampire come the fuck in and really breakdance on people's fucking necks. You know, imagine the deaths they could have on scene, on the screen, on the big screen, like doing the windmill, doing like the fucking moonwalk and shit. Like, this could be a whole thing.
Bram Stoker's Breaking 2.
Breaking 3. Like, you know, something like that.
Well, I mean, it's supposed to be a remake, so...
And imagine the soundtrack, like, for God's sakes. Imagine the soundtrack.
Bram Stoker's Breaking Daughter. Breaking's Daughter. Yeah, the soundtrack would be fucking awesome. Shit.
What about you? What about a rating for yourself?
Again, my only problems with this was just... it going into like pretty much everything we talked about, it going into like the characters a little unnecessarily, because again, this is it's a very straightforward horror comedy, very dark horror comedy, which I really enjoyed. That, you know, you see all of the story in the trailer necessarily. And like, the way it talked about, because of the way it goes into like the backstory, it sort of starts to give you like a thriller kind of sense or a suspense movie, which it's not. It's just shock horror with some really awesome, you know, production values, really, really cool sets, really, really pretty, actually awesome actors, that had more lines than they needed, which that sort of took away from it a little. Great practical effects, lots of gore, and just, you know,
I would say just a little bit more of an unnecessary exposition when that gets kind of retold to us by the villain in a very quick and swift way, you know,
and a very like succinct way. Yeah. She does a good job of just like, it was a very cool moment again where she does that, because like everybody's focused on her and like they're completely taken aback by it, and she's just there like, yep. I got your number, bitches. And but like, aside from that, like, I thought this movie was pretty awesome. I really enjoyed checking it out in the theaters. I would recommend anybody to see it in theaters if they can, or anywhere with like a good, like a big ass screen and a great sound system, because it is very atmospheric in that mansion. So it's like, oh, this is cool. Like, you get that really not necessarily, well, it's like you get that mix of like being trapped, you know, from like trapped in like a claustrophobic space, but at the same time, it's like it's got a 50-foot tall ceiling where it's like it's imposing, and just like it opens up the room, I guess, from that moment. But at the same time, they still feel very much like they're stuck.
Yeah, just to reiterate, the set design, or like the set itself as a house, there's a lot of narrow hallways and corridors and stuff like that. So like whenever they're running away from Abigail and they're kind of, you're following them, like you don't necessarily know how fast anyone's running, because like I said, she's just toying with them. So I felt I felt the anxiety. Yeah, and it's a little girl, so but the thing is, like, she looks menacing. Like, they made her look like scary.
Yes, she
as
does. That was very cool.
And the thing is, like, you know, and she's doing these fucking shits like this, and it's just
running
like,
at him in a tutu.
You're just like, I don't know how to feel about this, you know. But yeah,
I was laughing so much. Yeah, because it was just like funny, just like because they're freaked the fuck out, and she's just there, rah! And they're like, what? Oh shit.
Yeah. I mean, as a vampire, it has like almost superhuman strength too, so There you go.
I mean, they talk about that in the movie too. Like, it's a slight backstory to the character, and I guess they sort of forget about it at one point, which I always thought was funny because it just goes to show that like her appearance is very deceiving, and in that, and so like she very much uses that to her advantage and makes them forget so quickly that it's just like, oh, she's a supernatural goddamn like monster. Of course, she's going to be super goddamn powerful with like the particular histories and kind of moments that you're exposed to in that movie are shown, that are not even with her in it necessarily. Like when they start figuring shit out and seeing like, okay, there's something wrong with this. That's like, okay, yeah. What makes you think a little girl could do that? or, you know, so I would probably give this like a, I mean, forgetting those moments I didn't like, I'd probably give this like a 4.2. I had a lot of fun with this movie, and I was pretty well impressed with it.
Yeah.
Considering that it's not a huge cast, they literally are in one fucking area in the whole movie. It's just in this house, and like it's very light on plot. You know, this is like a, all right, survive the night. What happens? You know, kind of thing. Which leaves a lot of the focus on the characters specifically, their reactions, and you know,
and good on them for creating a villain who is also menacing, but yet can seem again somewhat deceivingly harmless.
Right. It's the same. The same with the daughter. Same with the daughter. Like, or sorry, you're referring to.
I am referring to Abigail. Yes.
You are referring to the
daughter. Yeah, I am referring to the daughter.
I keep thinking of Dracula when I say this stuff.
Well, I wanted to just bring up a point because a couple of months ago we did watch. Heretic movie, Exorcist, Heretic Part 2, Exorcist 2, the Heretic. There is a moment in that movie where they have Reagan doing ballet for no apparent reason, and they don't ever bring that up. But I'm glad they integrated this. While it's not necessary for her to, ballet doesn't really play a part, but it's just for her to kind of be extravagant while she's killing people, you know.
it's like a funny quirk. You know, the ballerina.
It would have been funny if, like, Reagan in Exorcist 2 could have used ballet to deceive the devil or Pazuzu coming back to get her.
Maybe.
Didn't happen, but I'm just glad they worked in ballet for no reason whatsoever.
No, just for the fuck of it, you know? Yeah, just for the fuck of it. It's so fucking funny. Yeah, I really, really liked that. This is just one you can just sort of sit down and just enjoy. You don't have to think about anything.
Yeah.
There's really not much in way of substance there, but it's good. It's good that way because you the performances were really cool.
And I'll say so far, for 2024, we've been getting some pretty decent movies. Personally speaking.
Yeah, man.
I'm pretty happy with so far what's happening because I think last year I was kind of like, we had a few here and there. Nothing too great, but right now, like, it's just jam-packed beginning of the year. It's barely going to be the end of April, and I feel like I've seen enough movies for the fucking year, you know?
Yeah, and yet there's still more shit, like, a lot more stuff to go. Coming out.
Yeah.
There's I'm still looking forward to the second Beetlejuice movie of all fucking things.
Mm-hmm.
Deadpool and Wolverine. I don't know if you checked out that trailer.
I did check out the trailer. Cool. It looks fun.
I might check out Maxine. Who knows?
That there's the Arcadian movie. There's Sting. There's that other Nicolas Cage movie. That Cuckoo movie.
Sasquatch
Sunset that I haven't, that came out also that I don't want to watch. I know. It's just too much. It's just too much.
There's so much. It's great. Much I'm actually happy. I don't know that I've ever seen this many movies in theater at once before.
Yeah.
So I've been mostly pleasantly surprised and like, you know, happy. I don't remember any problems.
By the way, Late Night with the Devil is on Shutter Rolling, so if you haven't seen that yet, you can check that out.
Yeah, I need to check that out. I am a pretty big fan of David I can never say his name right. Dalmasian.
Yes.
One of those. I've sort of seen his character off and on since Batman Returns,
which apparently was his first role.
Yeah. I know, very, very minor, but he's pretty cool in that. And then like he sort of blossomed out later on.
Yeah, he kind of just like started showing up in random things that I'm watching. Like, I was like, he has such a recognizable face. That's the thing. And he kind of snuck up on me.
Yeah, reboot a lot.
Yeah, he kind of snuck up on me as a viewer, like, because again, it was kind of it wasn't in your face like this his acting or his character. He's always just there in the background, but always doing really great in whatever he's doing.
He was in the last Voyage of the Demeter.
Was he? I don't remember. That's how forgetful that movie was for me.
Wojciech is the name of the character. I don't know.
I'll just tell you this, Roland. Like, overall, Last Voyage of Demeter was just, I forgot it already. Like,
he was in the second Dune movie. He was in Ant-Man, which I really enjoyed his character in Ant-Man.
Which one?
One of the, which Ant-Man? So he was the hacker, buddy from the heist group. It was him. And I think like two other people,
but
he was the one that talked like this. Do you know Baba Yaga? I know Baba Yaga. You be scared. He spoke
but I'm sorry, which Ant-Man was it though?
Oh, he was in all of them. He's in the first, the second, and I don't know if he was in the third one.
But that's what I'm saying. I've seen like at least Ant-Man 1 and 2, and he's been in there like sprinkled in movies. Like, it's just not something.
I see, in your face.
So I kind of forget he's there. But not to say that he doesn't do a good job. It's just that he's always like a side character. And at this point,
Oppenheimer as well.
There's
the past like 3 or so years, he's really started to hit his
right. But that's why I'm saying, like, this time with Late Night with the Devil, like, he's front and center. So I think he did a great job, and he should have more starring roles. You know what I mean?
I'm looking forward to checking it out. Maybe I'll check it out when I go down to visit. We'll see. Good six pack.
If you like this video, please like and subscribe. We really appreciate it. You can check us out on any of the socials. There's links down below for all that stuff. And you want to support us in any other way, you can subscribe to our streaming service.
Subscribe to Ray's OnlyFans.
We have a Watcher streaming service that you can subscribe to for $6.99 and for $59.99 for 1 year. It's a price that we decided upon that everyone can afford. Everyone can afford.
Everyone can afford. It's $6.99 rubles. So it's like 5 cents.
Roland, it's $5.99. All right. We're not trying to rob our fans. All right. But it's $59.99 for 1 year. And
if, by themselves.
But make sure to subscribe to our Patreon, where we will not give you a free subscription if you are donating that way. Or we might. I don't know. We might change our minds. Or we might just say all of a sudden we want to leave our subscriptions up for a month and then we'll put it on YouTube. We don't want to alienate everybody, but you know, we haven't decided on that yet. We are persons who really want to just make TV quality content for our
for our subscriber. For all of you one guy out there listening, thank you.
But we just joking around. I'm just referring to that Watcher scandal going on YouTube right now, which I thought was pretty funny. And I've been kind of like following it for a while, for the past like weekend.
Mm-hmm. You were sending me those videos, and I was like, yep, there it is.
There's the update. I knew it was coming. Fresh Monday morning update and an apology from the guys from Watcher. I saw it coming. I wonder how aggressively they were writing that script for an apology. You see all these goddamn comments?
They look like they hadn't been sleeping well. And I was like, yeah, I probably wouldn't either if I did something like that. And got absolutely.
And I'll say this though, like, people, like, the minute that video came out, the first one on Friday, they came out fucking swinging. Like, people were commenting and like talking shit and like saying, that's it. Yep. They ruined their careers. It's over.
A lot of content. Yeah, creators made lots of money that day,
and they made money Monday when they updated that fucking up for that apology too.
Yeah, that's true.
If anyone out there you don't know what I'm talking about, then don't worry about it. But like, it's a YouTube scandal for people, that former BuzzFeed people who created their own channel on YouTube and want to do something on their streaming service. But whatever. We'll see you next time, and see you on the next review.
See you.